Oh, how are you? Good to have your company. My name is Simon Smart. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity, and I'm here with Justine Toe. Hi, Justine.
Hey, Simon. How's it going?
Good, thanks. Now, November the 25th each year is the UN's International Day for Eliminating Violence Against Women. According to the World Health Organization, and this is a staggering statistic, at least one out of every three women around the world has been or will be beaten, coerced into sex, or otherwise abused in her lifetime. This is something that was brought home to us recently when we heard that terrible story of the 14-year-old girl Malala Yousafzai, who was shot by the Taliban in Pakistan because she refused to stop campaigning for women's rights to an education. So we thought we'd spend this Life and Faith talking about the issue of gender-based violence, suffering violence because you're a woman, and what efforts are made to combat that. So Justine got in touch with Michelle Lockett, who is the World Vision's gender advisor. She's based in Melbourne, so we spoke to her via telephone.
When it comes to violence against women in the developing world, we know that there are issues like domestic violence, sex trafficking, female genital mutilation. But are these just the more visible issues? You know, what else does that definition of violence include?
Violence against women and girls is really anything that is physical, sexual, or psychological violence. So physical violence, we know, is hitting, pushing, punching, slapping, that sort of thing. Sexual can be rape or harassment, and psychological is often excluded, but it's about intimidation, coercion, and as well as using words.
What about things like child marriage, lack of rights and access to education? Does that also make it into that definition of violence?
Yeah, child marriage, definitely. Often there's an age disparity between girls that get married and the men that they marry. And so there are lots of power dynamics there. And often the girl is forced to have sex before she's ready within that relationship. And so where that forced nature exists, it's a form of violence.
Right, okay. And can you let us know what kinds of factors contribute to violence being perpetrated against women? You know, like, for example, why are girls given in marriage when they are really young, for example?
Yeah, sure. Well, a lot of it is about unequal power relationships between men and women. So often in certain societies or cultures, there might be attitudes that place women in an inferior position or say that the role of the woman is just solely reproductive. So, for example, for child marriage, the role of the girl is just to get married and have as many children as she can. And so in that way, she doesn't really have value as a person. And so she's treated as someone who's inferior. And the men are powerful, the women are perceived as weak. And so that can perpetuate violence.
And is it also the case that, I mean, it must also be the case that poverty, when you add that to this situation, it's a toxic combination, right? Because it just reinforces women's, reproductive ability. And why would you invest in a girl's future if all she's going to do is have babies? Is that right as well?
Yeah, that's right. It reinforces survivability. But we know that violence is also a reality in countries like Australia. And worldwide, the violence rate is that one in three women in the world experience physical or sexual abuse during their life. And one in five will be a victim of attempted rape or will be raped. So that's a worldwide statistic, but it can be more prevalent in developing countries.
Yeah, you make a really good point. I mean, we tend to talk about it as if it's a problem that other people suffer, but it's something that affects all of us, absolutely. Now, Goal 3 of the Millennium Development Goals promotes gender equality and the empowerment of women. Can you let us know what's already being done to promote women's empowerment?
Yeah, sure. So one thing that's already been done is promoting education for girls. So quite a number of studies have been done that show that girls who have education are more likely to have fewer children, more likely to stay to earn better incomes, more likely to remove themselves from violent situations and to know about their rights and where to seek help.
Is it true to say that the more you delve into this issue and the more you try and fight, I guess, entrenched attitudes that don't favour women, is it really complex? I mean, how do you actually get change happening from the ground up?
It's a huge thing to change people's behaviours and attitudes that have been entrenched for years or decades or even centuries. one thing that we try to do in our programs is to challenge gender stereotypes. So this idea of women as subordinate and male as powerful, and that takes time. Often it helps, like what World Vision is doing, is working with faith leaders, pastors and churches. We do work with governments, trying to change some of the laws on female genital mutilation, on domestic violence, on rape. And we also try and strengthen the systems that exist in that country. So for example, domestic violence shelters, legal providers, police officers, and trying to work on all those things at the same time. It does take time, and it requires really a holistic effort.
And how can people who are concerned about this issue, how can they contribute?
There are quite a lot of things you can do. Obviously, it's important to learn from World Vision and other organisations who have websites and resources about violence against women. I think supporting survivors is really important. It's often difficult to tell someone that you're experiencing violence, but you can encourage them to get help. There's domestic violence hotlines and other resources available in Australia. I think sponsoring a child helps to make a difference. It ensures that children, especially girls, have access to education where they wouldn't normally. They'll know about their rights. They'll know where to seek help when violence occurs. And also you can support organisations like World Vision who are involved in innovative programming. So, for example, our Channels of Hope for Gender program in the Solomon Islands and PNG, where we're working with pastors and faith leaders around biblical messaging regarding equality. And so you can be an advocate about those kind of issues, raising awareness in your community and challenging those gender stereotypes when they come up.
Yeah. Can I ask you as well, there is the Christian idea of everyone being made in the image of God, and how that, you know, this is an argument for, you know, not having violence against women. How does that really, you know, factor into World Vision's ethos? Because it is a Christian organisation.
Yeah. So we, our Channels of Hope for Gender program especially focuses on selecting those biblical messages about equality, about men and women being made in God's image and having, you know, dignity and value in their own right. And we also try and challenge common misinterpretations of texts, like about wives submitting to your husbands, or about how women should be silent, or the husband being head. And so we try and unpack those a little bit, so that where people might have had a really kind of narrow interpretation of that text, to explore some of the context and the culture behind why that was said, so that people can have a fresh understanding of that text.
And not using that biblical text to justify their violence against women, is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's World Vision's gender advisor, Michelle Lockett. Michelle talked about the work of aid organisations in developing countries. It sounds like some good work's being done in this area, but you get the feeling, as you said in the interview, that it's a very complex issue, Justine.
Yeah, I remember reading Half the Sky, which is New York Times columnist Nick Kristof and Cheryl Woodun's book about the oppression of women and girls in the developing world, and how we can, you know, work to combat the oppression that they suffer. And it tells the story on one of the many chapters about a factory being closed down because it has terrible work conditions, but then the largely female workforce was then just kind of tipped out into the streets, and what were they supposed to do? So this leaves them with a bit of an impossible choice. Do they go into prostitution, for example? So it's like, you know, you get the impression that, you know, either way, it's a terrible situation, and what can you do about it, really?
That's a dreadful situation, isn't it? But from what I've heard, Half the Sky is also optimistic in that it believes really strongly in what it calls the girl effect. Tell us more about this idea, Justine, because it offers some hope in what's a truly awful situation.
This term, the girl effect, has been, I think it's doing the rounds of the development community in the last couple of years. It's this idea that if you help a girl or a woman out of poverty and give her an education or a way to support herself, she actually feeds those benefits back into her family and her local community. And that actually helps to break the cycle of poverty that can kind of just be going over and over again throughout the generations. So in some ways, it's like a ripple effect. When you invest in her, you're not just helping her, but you're investing in everyone that's connected with her. And it's also been shown that women in situations of poverty give up to like 90% of their income back to their family. Well, it's been seen that men on the whole tend to give, let's say, 30 to 40%. So make of that what you will.
That doesn't seem to put men in a very good light, Justin.
I agree. But rather than simply seeing it as reflecting badly on men, maybe we could say that it shows how women can uniquely contribute to alleviating poverty. Now, please don't hear me say that it's up to the girl to kind of get her family out of poverty. I don't want to give them an added extra burden of doing that. But maybe the girl effect just recognises the power and the potential of women's agency and resourcefulness, even in the most desperate of circumstances.
Yeah, well, let's come back to that in a moment after we listen to what Tim Costello, also from World Vision, had to say when he recently visited the CPX studio. John Dixon asked Tim Costello, what distinguishes a Christian aid organisation from secular organisations, and whether that has a bearing on what we're talking about.
But what is particularly Christian about World Vision when there are plenty of other secular organisations that are doing the same thing? So obviously you don't need a Christian framework to do what you do.
Yeah, look, other secular agencies do great work, but development isn't just about efficiency. It's not just about saying, we have the answer called money, you have the problem called poverty, we'll shift some money towards your way and you won't have a problem. Development's actually about mystery and relationship and transformation, because poverty is often encast in the prison of not really believing that I am significant, I am loved by God in a Christian sense. So World Vision believes that sin, if I can use that word, isn't just not having the freedom to know God and worship God. It's not having clean water and education. It's anything that cripples the image of God in a child who's poor in their family. That salvation isn't just a personal relationship with God and freedom to worship. Salvation is everything that restores the crippled image of God. It's clean water, it's education. And the good news that you are made in the image of God. Now, in that transformation, it's more than just transactional. We'll ship some money your way and off you go, you'll be fine.
Tell me about this image of God concept. You hear it a lot in Christian speech. But what does it actually mean when you look at, say, a poor person somewhere in Africa who can contribute nothing, whose utility is pretty much zero? In what sense are they image of God? Because that's a pretty high and lofty idea.
In our market economy, global capitalism, if you like, if you aren't paying your way, it's called user pays, then you are contributing nothing. And what have you got to offer? In Christian faith, and this was the ministry of Jesus who touched lepers who could contribute nothing, who included in his circle people who were demoniacs and ill, and we might say mentally ill, and said, you are loved by God. You have something to offer. You can reach your God-given potential. In the Roman Empire of the time, this was an astonishing notion that the poor, the slaves, the women who weren't regarded as having any great commercial value were able to reach their God-given potential because they carried the image of God. So for me, this isn't simply some set of theological words. This goes right to the heart of understanding that I am loved. I therefore can respect myself. I therefore can overcome some of the prison of my mind to say I'm worthless.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity.
Well, that was World Vision CEO Tim Costello. That idea that Jesus has come to bring people life and to be developed to the best of their abilities, a really compelling one. Now, earlier, Justin, you suggested that maybe the girl effect is recognition that women have something unique to contribute. What do you make of that in light of what Tim Costello said?
Well, if you think about that in light of what Tim Costello was saying, it's like violence is preventing women from reaching their God-given potential. That's even more reason to support efforts to eliminate violence. In this light, violence against women is not simply a violation of human rights, but it actually destroys the image of God in them. And that picks up on what Tim Costello was saying before. And perhaps the girl effect, you know, what seems to be women's unique ability to contribute towards making a better life for everyone around them, even in, you know, those most desperate circumstances of poverty, maybe that's a hint of what their God-given potential looks like. And so I think we should do whatever we can to help that flourish, whether that means sponsoring children, getting involved in education programs, or even just financially supporting charities that work in this area.
Well, there are plenty of options for people in that regard. I mean, we've mentioned already World Vision, but there's also Compassion and groups like TEAR, WorldShare, Heal Africa, those sorts of groups. You can jump on websites and look at what those people are doing. Eliminating violence against women is a really important topic, Justine. Thanks for talking with us about it.
Thank you.